Hey, this is Engineer Eric. You're listening to part one of our September 17th, 2009 Jimmy Doan Show.
Yeah! All right.
Mojo on.
Yeah. I got that mojo.
It's the Jimmy Doan Show!
Okay, well, what is this, about September 7th, middle of September?
September 17th.
4 days until the equinox.
Yep, something like that.
It's been a long time since the last show, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, Jimmy,
been like a million millennia.
Well, I think it's been about 47 hog D's, which are on another planet. So
we got some serious hate mail about it too.
Yeah, I know.
We got even from Bernie.
David Teotwaki sent us something.
Teotwaki, yeah.
No names.
And then Wogsy sent us something too. I forget what it was.
And we got a special guest.
Oh, that's right, yes.
One of the dogs.
Gene, the host from the Hangar Dogs.
That's right.
Our special military expert.
That's right.
Yeah, we want to find about the Iran nuclear weapons.
Yeah, I got a couple questions for you, Gene, when we get going here.
So who else we got here, Jimmy? I guess we got Counsel Curtis, obviously.
Counsel Curtis, we have legal questions.
Oh, that's bad.
You know,
no, that's good.
We have legal questions.
I'm here.
The Gestapo is coming through. Grandma loves it. Okay, and Eric.
Yeah. Hey, good to be here.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice, some of her old friends. You know.
Yeah, that's right. So it's been a long time. Tonight, of course, is a big night because the city commission is finally voting on our city taxes, and they've decided that...
Oh, so there's a big debate down there, huh?
No. No, it took about 10 minutes. And they have a trick. They have a trick they call the rollback rate on the millage, which they define it. It's kind of like they used to do. We deem this not to be a tax increase.
Well, oh, yeah.
Even though it is. So
it's automatic. The millage rate goes up, increases automatically, right?
So, no, well, it's not exactly. It has to do... There's a formula that they use. It's like... It has Avogadro's number and Boltzmann's constant in it, mm-hmm. or something.
But it always goes up.
But it always goes up. That's right. So now the other thing, speaking of things that people,
it takes the absolute value of whatever it comes out.
That's right. We have to reduce if it comes out. We need to reduce taxes. That is minus $2 million.
You just invert it.
Right. Absolute value. That's right.
Absolute value.
That's right. The other quickie things before we get to Gene here is people want to notice House resolution or whatever is 1207, which actually is gaining some headway. That's the end the Fed big
oh,
deal.
Oh, really?
Ron Paul's book is out like yesterday.
Right.
And apparently for the first time in like decades, this guy has been screaming for decades about how the Fed has ruined everything. And, of course, Bernanke came out yesterday and claimed mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's it.
The recession is over.
We're done.
Oh, that's right. And it's over. It's done. We're fine.
Happy times.
Which reminds me, gold hit a new high today. Silver is crunching up to the top as it can do. So apparently somebody's got some inside information, and I'm not sure it's Bernanke. So we'll see that. Anyway, but everybody should be writing in and supporting, especially if you're out of the country. HR 1207, please support that. Have them do it. Apparently, they got enough sponsors, and they're actually going to talk about it.
Weird.
They're
audit,
is that the one to end the Fed, or is that the one to audit the Fed?
Audit the Fed. And, of course, as they audit them, guess what? I mean,
they can give them some more money.
That's my dilemma. I'm not sure we can stand the answer.
Yeah. No, well, that's the point. That is exactly the point. When they, they asked one of these guys, they said, would you please tell me, I think it was even Bernie Sanders, for God's sakes, our resident commie. Ask the guy, he's the guy from Vermont or whatever, the quote independent unquote from Vermont, who's a, socialist, an avowed socialist. And he asked the guy from the Fed or whatever, or whoever was loaning, maybe it was the Treasury guy. I can't keep him, I get him mixed up. But anyway, said, this $780 billion or whatever that you loaned to the banks, can you tell us who got it and how much? And the guy said, no.
Yeah.
That was the answer.
No.
We don't track the small stuff.
Yeah, right. Well, out there close to you guys, I think Utah has like a whole slew of these niche banks. They could drive in ATM or anything. No windows. They just loan to like small businesses, to the Gap and people like that, to and Burger Kings or individual Burger Kings and so forth. it's a niche loaning thing anyway. Because they're owned by some of the bigger companies, but they're like independent underneath or something. Anyway, they want to bring those guys in under total federal regulation. Apparently, they're not. And they account for like something like 0.2% of the total amount of money.
But it's still a positive number.
Getting away
that's
with
right.
it.
Yeah, it's a positive number. That's right. Bring down the whole system.
Well, I saw Geithner on C-SPAN, and I mean, God, you talk about a waffling idiot on there. They was like, so are you telling me that all these measurement formulas that you came up with to tell us that what kind of a recession we were in and how this is all worked off of these exact formulas, and you're saying that none of this stuff really matters?
That's the whole thing. They've got piles of calculations based on piles of assumptions.
Right.
And it's like, you know, that ain't science. No, that's a pile.
Well, you know, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Yeah.
And these guys, you can prove anything. Mm-hmm. You can prove anything you want. I mean, it wouldn't matter. But you have to understand, these guys get paid big bucks to say whatever Obama wants them to say. You know, things are rosy. And you know, I'm not sure, but for a couple $100,000 a year, I'd probably say it too. I'm guessing at this point in time, since my retirement plan is involved in lotto tickets.
That's my master plan.
We have. I was really upset because yesterday there was another rollover. I was hoping to get the $17 million, but I have to go out and buy some more damn tickets tomorrow.
You know, you'll get it all back.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know that. Well, Grandma won five. She won $5.
Did she really?
Yeah. Which she promptly pumped back into the system.
Oh, God.
It was like
only her 100th ticket or something, right?
Yeah. Right. Okay. So yeah. Right. So whatever. So anyway, what do you got, Gene? You got anything on?
I got a question for Dr. Gene there, if he's willing.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
He'll make it up if he doesn't know.
Oh, sure.
Isn't that what we do?
I'm full of answers.
He's got a computer right there. Of course, it's a Timex watch, but...
it's got a microchip.
Yeah, it's got a microchip, man.
Good enough.
So, Gene, here's my question. Today I heard, and this could be a total rumor at this point, so we're going to put it out there as fact, that Iran has acquired the nuke. Any word on that?
Well, I guess what we could talk to that is, has Israel hit them yet?
No, yeah, exactly. So, is Israel still there?
If Israel hasn't hit them yet, they probably don't have it yet.
Yeah, that's probably good.
That's actually, you know, I hadn't thought about that. That's a good.
Oh, there it goes. Just launched a JDS rocket over there.
Israel kind of knows as soon as they get that old goober ball kind of stuck together, they kind of know there's a lot of
the Iranian goober ball.
They get even close. You know? They start working around like neon materials, you know, if it glows a little bit, a little phosphorus paint.
Well, they have a choice. I mean, they've done it before.
Oh, yeah.
They took out some nuclear...
Oh, yeah, they took it out
20 years ago or whatever.
And several strategic things in like a few hours, right?
They've done it in several places around there whenever they suspect there is anything threatening them that they'll go hit it. And, of course, you know, you always got Egypt who pulls their whole armored division up to the border and says, we're going to kick your ass in the morning.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
We swear.
And they wake up in the morning without an armored infantry. Yeah, right.
Say, didn't we leave an army here yesterday where all these flames are?
And holes.
Where this hole is?
But that being in the news and all, I should say truth and disclaimers here. I've actually am heavy into Mideast oil futures right now.
Full disclosure here.
Yeah, 'cause I kind of feel like that's going to pay off in the short term here.
Yeah.
Actually, I have till January 2011.
Really? They got to stretch out that long?
As long as they're called leaps, but as long as Israel gets off their butt and does something before then, I'm in the money.
All right, you the man.
And of course, I took your advice, Jimmy, and I bought gold.
Good man.
All right.
Let me just say that's paid off kind of nice.
Oh, yeah. It's been sweet for the last couple of weeks. Yeah, I mean, I've got December and next December futures, and they're all doing pretty well.
Yeah, even my gold mine stock has gone up 30% since I bought it a few months ago.
Well,
I just love it. Turn on the business news and say, gold is reaching a new high.
Yeah, no, no, that does make
so
the day.
So am I.
That's, yeah, right. Watch this. Now I can afford it.
All right, so on the Iran story, I'm going to go ahead and say confirmed. No. But I do have a corollary question. When I first heard that, the first thing I thought of was that it was somebody's bogus way of raising some alarms because Obama announced the dismemberment of the missile defense shield over there. Any comment on that?
Well, no, but you got to remember that was from a new intelligence report. And we all know how great intelligence reports are.
Yeah, I'm going to say, what did they send Jim Wilson over there or whatever, whoever the guy, Mr. Yellow?
Valerie Plame, I think.
Yeah, Valerie sent Valerie over there, Miss Yellow Cake.
I'm Miss Yellow Cake. They went over and confirmed the situation for us.
Okay. Well, what do you think about the shield taken down or the plans?
They were going to shield like Poland or something and decided not to, right? Isn't that what it was?
No, that was kind of this is really Stitch's area, but it was like long range versus medium range short range.
Right.
The long range were going to go into Poland and Czech.
Uh-huh.
And they've now kind of said, well, no, we think we can do this all with medium range.
Right. Okay.
Which, you know, is basically throwing Czech and Poland under the bus, but
there's
a long trail of people behind the bus. So,
well, not only that, it's not like they haven't been thrown under the bus before.
Right.
I mean, they should be used to it by now.
And there's a lot of buses going through their way.
That's exactly right. No, I mean, they've been, you know, the...
Right.
I think the new countries over there will be called Dormatsky.
Levelless Flatsky.
That's right.
That would fit. That would fit for sure.
No, that would be great stuff. So anyway,
down your way. Speaking of news, I've seen some chick on TV this morning that harpooned some 600-pound alligator or something down your way. Do you see that?
No. That's local news, right?
Yeah, local news somewhere in Florida.
Yeah, I know. See, they don't report our stuff here. We get all the news from someplace else. It's like our food. We get our oranges from California.
Yeah. So you guys try to keep up with Wyoming, but not much there in the backyard.
Exactly.
Kind of
yeah, right. Yeah, that's exactly right. I have not seen. Harpooned?
I don't know. A crossbow or some damn thing.
No, they're crawling around
alligator.
Here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the deal is it's not news here.
Yeah, they're everywhere here.
Yeah, I mean, literally, you walk across any place. Like in St. Petersburg, they have a lot of the roundabouts in St. Petersburg, got a pond in the middle of them, and there's not one that doesn't have an alligator in it.
Yeah, I mean, you can go down here to the UF campus, University of Florida, and there's a lake in the middle of campus called Lake Alice, mm-hmm. and it's got...
It's where you walk your unwanted dogs.
Yeah, exactly. It has...
I know, but this is like, that's a humongous thing. I mean, this would make a lot of alligator pizza.
600 pounds sounds like a baby or a half, you know, adolescent.
No.
They're up to a ton.
Yeah.
Those 14 footers are, you know, they're over 1,000 pounds easy.
Yeah.
They're 1,500 pounds. 600
wow,
pounds?
Man.
You got to be kidding
How
me.
How do you guys keep pets around?
You don't. Yeah, that's the whole point. We're a cat free zone down here.
He's not kidding about that. I mean, you go out there, play fetch by Lake Alice, and you'll be down a dog for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, this is where the nice thing is, we don't have to worry about, you know, up north, they arrest people for throwing their cats off the bridge or their dogs off the bridge when they want to, you know, they got too many. We don't have to worry about that here.
Yeah.
We just release them out there by Lake Allison. Here, Fido. I guess Fido's gone. Dang. What happened?
I threw this bone in the water.
Yeah. No, seriously,
he fetched it twice. And
there in Lake Alice, which is probably, I'm guessing Lake Alice is about 50 acres.
And I bet it's 20 acres.
Well,
I mean, it's small.
It stretches up to Bivens Arm.
Well, it does go back, but I've walked around it.
Okay. Well, then, okay. There are at least, I mean, at nighttime, we have a picture, as a matter of fact, a picture on Ms. Jimmy's wall. There are hundreds of alligators. At nighttime, when the moon is just right, you see all their little eyeballs.
Yeah, if you go out there with a nice high-powered flashlight, you shine it across there, and there's just pairs of glowing eyes.
I mean, there are like 200 pairs of glowing eyes. Yeah. And I'll tell you.
Those are just ones on the surface.
Exactly.
Right.
That's right. Forget it. That doesn't even include the ones that are underneath humping.
Right. Well, so. They're underneath humping.
Yeah. So.
Well, speaking of retirement, my only other retirement plan was I didn't want to go to work for Walmart. I didn't want to be a greeter. And I just don't fit into that scene. And I was thinking, well, shit, maybe I could get a job at Acorn. Now look at those clowns.
I'll tell you. That is such a disappointment because I was thinking about the same thing. You know,
well, what's the deal with Acorn?
Well, you know,
you haven't seen that?
You haven't seen the videos?
Oh, my God. It's been all over the news.
And, of course, the Acorn people are coming out defending it.
Every day, they release 5 videos a day at a time on purpose. Every day, they release a new video.
About what?
Basically, people go into this one couple, this guy and this girl went into the office.
He's like 25 and she's like 18 or 20 or 21 or something. She's
22.
Hot.
They dressed
22.
Her up kind of like a prostitute and they threw a freaking fur coat over his end over suit or whatever. And he went in there and pretended to be a pimp. And then they asked for money. For their
They wanted their business loan. They wanted to get a house at no down payment, and they made it crystal clear that the idea on this was to import some Honduran or Ecuadorian
children
aged 12 to 15 for prostitution
and beat them and stuff like that. And the people gave him advice. Okay, well, what you say?
And he
says,
"Well, what about the IRS? Well, no, you don't have to worry about that." And they gave him how to avoid. The IRS, how to avoid this.
Call yourself a contractor.
And then the bitch tells how she popped her old pimp.
Yeah, she does. The one girl says she killed her husband and describes how she did it.
And no, I mean, it was unbelievable. And, of course, the apologists come out and say, well, this is an isolated incident. So they went to Washington, D.C., did the same damn thing all over again.
They did it 5 days, 5 separate tapes.
And
I'm going to have to look.
They had a 100% success rate is what they did. You could do a T measure on that or whatever it is, you know, groups under 30 or whatever it is. And it's still, I don't care what it is. Your room for error isn't but about 5%. I'm sorry. That's a hit when you get 100% out of 5.
Right.
Acorn says they're going to do a self audit and they're going to re-educate some of their frontline people.
Yeah.
So I think we can see this cleaning up in the near future, and my job opportunities may open back up again.
Well, yeah, a little minor problem, though, is I think you're not quite tan enough.
Well, I'm working on it.
Okay. What kind of reverse Michael Jackson?
Remember the old story we used to have to read, like Black Like Me? I mean, there's ways you can get around that just for, you know, to get a job.
I suppose. If you're willing to whore yourself out. Now, Gene, I can't imagine you doing that.
Remember, I run an aerospace company.
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, as I say, Jimmy's going to have to get a job here pretty soon, too. And like you say, the ultimate greeter at Walmart. Have you ever seen Jeff Dunham's Walter? You know, the comedian?
He's
the ventriloquist,
And Walter, you know, they ask Walter, did you want to be a greeter at Walmart? And
he said, yeah.
Yeah. And get your shit and get out.
Have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
Get your shit and get out.
That's it.
Hell yeah.
So I don't know. I'm old enough, but I have to bend over a little bit more, I guess, to get the greeter job at Walmart.
Well, I got another Colorado question for you, Gene. What's up with that? They busted some guys, Aziz Habib Arif or whatever out there, a terrorist. He drove his car to New York City and then flew back and they raided everything. They stopped him. They searched his car. They towed his car in New York. It's a parking violation. Towed his car. They searched the crap out of it.
Right.
And then brought it back. You know, they stopped him like 3 times, found nothing. And now they've raided his house out in Colorado.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to be thorough when you get into these kind of things.
Yeah. I just wondered if you'd heard anything or if that was anybody you know.
No. I don't have any information other than what you've said. They, you know, they're being kind of tight-lipped about it out here. They haven't said anything that's serious about the investigation. Of course, he says he's innocent, and, you know, you got to kind of believe the guy.
Yeah.
They didn't find any explosives on him. What the hell?
Well, he is innocent right now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also, where was the, wasn't it out in Colorado that the girl was stuffed in the wall or whatever? Was that a Colorado thing?
No, that was,
No, that was Yale.
Huh?
That was a strange one, huh?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the Yale murder?
Oh, yeah. That's right. That was up at Yale. I'm sorry.
Guy went to a lot of trouble to put her in a wall. It's like...
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then stuck around?
Yeah, he's done.
But the question is that he didn't...
He's toast.
Well, again, he hasn't said it. Apparently, he's done the old Counselor Curtis, is it okay if I just say no?
Oh, yeah.
And he hasn't said anything to anybody.
But they
were like, well, we got all this evidence, but they didn't release it. I was reading the story today. They didn't tell what the evidence was.
Man, there's going to be DNA evidence all over the place.
Think so, huh?
Oh, my God. I mean, coded in DNA evidence.
Coded.
I mean, her clothes are going to have everything. I mean, hairs and air. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but he worked with her. I mean,
well,
you know.
I know that's, you know, that's what he's going to have to say. That's right. What his defense attorney is going to say is, well, they were intimate or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And but
yeah, forensics must be pretty excited when you stop and put a body in the wall.
Oh
yeah.
Man, I mean,
that is, you know, and they would. The question is, how do they find it? I mean, I would, of course, after a couple of days, I imagine the aroma would kind of waft.
Yeah, they bring some body sniffing dogs in.
Yeah, they brought the dogs in. That's right.
Who let the dogs out? Oh, I forgot to bring this one, but they did bring a parrot into court to testify.
What?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I left it at home, man.
Man. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, they brought a parrot in to testify.
Come on, man.
No, it was, and I know the gist of the story. What had happened was the bird had flown away, but it had remembered the address of where it was. You know, because the lady owner had told the parrot over and over, like, you know, what its name was and what its address was.
Right.
And so what happened was that the other person who found the parrot caged it and kept it. You know?
Right, right.
And then so they said, my parrot will tell me what the address is.
Right.
And so they bring the parrot in, and I guess the parrot...
Where do you live?
Where do you live?
And it's 2552 Northwest 47th Lane.
Done.
Case solved. The only animal in the species other than the human that can speak English. English. Freaking bird brain.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yep.
They sound like they got Tourette's, though, so I don't know.
Well, I do have another legal case here. It seems like what's happening now, right now in Pensacola, Florida, is...
Oh, Naval Air Station.
Yeah.
There you go.
They're prosecuting a couple of school officials. I think it's a principal and a coach and whoever else was involved. Basically, this school kept doing prayers in school. And I think the ACLU filed a lawsuit against them, and they didn't object, and the court imposed a no-prayer condition on them. And then they blew it off. They went out to some luncheon, and they went ahead and, like a booster luncheon, and they went ahead and did their prayer, and now they're going to be busted.
And so they're going to send them to jail.
They want to give them jail time. That's what I've seen.
Jail time.
And this is a fact. This is what's come out of the combination of the schools and the state. That is to say, this wouldn't be a problem at all, wouldn't be an issue, wouldn't even be on the radar, except that all of the schools are controlled by the state.
Right.
And because the state is barred from having religion in it, that from the Constitution, so are the schools. And so, or at least that's the interpretation right now that they're trying to push. But that's the ridiculous situation in Pensacola.
Well, this is typical of
Florida.
But first you make a problem, and then you use it, and then you solve it.
Right,
exactly.
With a new problem.
That's right. No, this is exactly what they do across the board, nonstop.
All right, we're going to take just a quick 1 minute break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
On the Jimmy Doan Show with our special guest Gene from the Hangar Dog. We're back.
Hey,
look at that.
You didn't realize this. We have a time warp here.
Yeah.
You're in a different time zone.
But Curtis, the obvious thing there is they did violate the court order. So
it's true.
I mean, that's something that's got to be pursued because you can't ignore
them. Oh, that's true.
But on the other hand, it seems like I always get upset about the fact that, okay, if there's not prayer in schools, does that mean that individuals can't say their own prayers? I mean, I wouldn't necessarily stand up in the lunchroom and praise God, but I would, if I wanted to, you know, say a blessing before I ate my hamburger or my beanie weenie or whatever they were serving that particular day.
You're mush.
It seems to me like that's my business, as long as I don't make a public display out of it.
Absolutely. And well, I think the common or the accepted rulings these days is basically the moment of silence. That is to say, if they break for a moment of silence, it's all good because it's non-denominational. So it doesn't promote any particular religion. But these guys apparently went ahead and did a Judeo-Christian prayer. You know, hold hands. That's everybody hold hands now and get down, you know, and pray or whatever. And of course, the parents are worried about their kids being influenced by this or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Instead of a rap song.
They're objecting to the prayer here.
You know, God protect the children, you know.
To me, it's just so far down the line in terms of what you would do with the legal system. You know, it's like when we were reviewing the Sotomayor cases and we're watching her rule on similar things that come out of schools. You know, some kid sued the school on equal protection grounds because they demoted him from third grade to second grade or whatever. And it's like, you know, to invoke the Constitution against the school to me is just way overkill. I mean, you don't need to do that. But it's because the schools are so tied up with the government that everybody's paying this attention.
That's the thing. I mean, again, and the school system, especially here in Alachua County, is like 100% broken. It is shattered beyond belief. And it's interesting to watch our school board just, you know, go along, cruise. Of course, they collect their $50,000-$60,000 and really don't care. I mean, it's just hysterical.
Well, they're giving each other plaques and
that's what I'm saying. I sure wouldn't mind being in the plaque business. But the other legal thing, of course, that you wanted to bring up was flipping off the cop.
Oh yeah. So this comes out of a case. I can't remember where it was, but this guy basically, according to him, he's pulling into a parking spot. And somebody cuts him off, and so he flips that person off, and he hears, as he's doing that, an admonishment from behind him. Somebody says, hey, cut that out, or, you know, none of those obscene gestures around here. And he says, without looking, he flips that guy off, whoever that might be, and then he turns around to see that it's the police officer, who promptly pulls him over, because he's driving away now. So here he goes. He pulls the guy over for flipping him off, and then he arrests him. And this is just so far beyond what you would need to control.
This came under their disorderly conduct statute, which prohibits profanity.
Right, but it has to be disruptive. The profanity has to be published. You know, it has to be like yelled, basically, and it has to disrupt something. It can't just go out into space. And so, and that's the definition of disorderly conduct here in Florida, and I imagine elsewhere it's similar. But what happens is it just leaves it to the police officer's interpretation. And what it comes down to is if you offend the police officer, there's a good chance you could get arrested.
Right.
Now, what's great about this case, this is amazing to me, is that he's suing them. He's suing him for false arrest because the cops should have known that this was an unconstitutional arrest. And it looks like he's going to win and get a couple or 10 or 20 grand or something. And so, you know, this might be something to do now that times are tough economically. Just, you know, drive around and flip off the cops.
Well, no, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, we do have our tradition here in about a month, you know, the homecoming parade. And, you know, the object is to go out there and throw the money out the window like we did before.
Right.
And, you know, and have them come up and threaten you.
Right. Of course, that's a different charge. They tried the felony inciting a riot or whatever.
Right. I know. But I'm just thinking that.
Well, this is under the obscenity thing, which is very clear. You're allowed to be obscene, and you're especially allowed to be obscene.
I'm allowed to start a riot.
Yeah. Woo. No.
No.
Okay. But when I say obscene, I shouldn't say that word because that is a legal word. It's been defined, I should say, very loosely by Potter Stewart. His definition is he'll know it when he sees it.
Yep.
And that's the way that the court interprets it. That is to say, you bring something in front of a court and you just sort of ask yourself, is this obscene? And if the answer is yes, then you know that they're going to rule against you. And if the answer is no,
well, of course, what this all boils down to is the cop was pissed off that somebody flipped.
Right.
And I was talking about this with Grandma this morning, and she agreed totally with the cop.
Well, so she thought they were lenient, probably.
She, grandma has a little of the
grandma
Nazi.
Grandma should have shot him, huh?
Yeah.
No, yeah, no question. No, grandma, yeah, exactly.
At least
right.
In the leg or something.
Yeah, no question about it. No, grandma has got quite a bit of the Nazi in her, and that's fine.
She said,
you know, you have to show respect. And I said, you don't understand. As far as I'm concerned, respect is one of those things that's earned.
Well, and not only that, but you see, once it gets down to the flipping off thing, then it's going to be, you took the wrong tone
right.
with me.
Right.
You know, I didn't like the way you were looking at me was quite offensive.
Yeah.
And at that level, it's like, what can you do? Nothing. You have to get down,
pray down, and be the most obsequious,
exactly.
fawning thing in the world.
Yeah.
And they'll still find something wrong when they want to. Again, what this, of course, this reflects, as you know, we talked about this one time before. I forget what this is called psychologically.
For you, sir.
Huh?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. It's a projection, I think, is what it is. You know, your own failings on somebody else. And the more, since you refuse to face your own failings, you continually project those failings onto somebody else. No matter how much they try to satisfy you, it's never enough, kind of thing. And that's
how does this apply to the cop thing?
Well, the fact is, if this person obviously doesn't get respect or something along these lines, and so normally a self-aware, self-confident person wouldn't care.
Well, see, what's happened is this to the police. It's unfortunate, but the stricter the laws get, the more they have to arrest normal people. And normal people, that is, people who are not criminally minded, not trying to hurt anybody, they get upset when they get arrested.
Right.
And they make us think about it. And,
right.
And then what happens is the police have to subdue them. And so the police are getting used to resisting people and resisting normal people
right.
who are just pissed off.
Right.
And so there's just an antagonism between the cops and the public these days that it's just getting worse and
worse. Well, what they've done is they've passed too many laws, obviously.
Absolutely.
They've criminalized everything.
Right.
I mean, it's just stunning to think that the stuff that used to be just not even hardly, didn't even rise to mischief.
Right.
Is now felony.
Super felony.
Yeah. And I've always said, one of the things is that laws breed laws. And because as violence breeds violence, laws breed laws. You cannot pass a law that doesn't have to come up for review fairly quickly because somebody, quote, finds a way to get around it or they technically avoid it. And you, well, no, that's not what we meant. So they enlarge it. We have meetings here on the city commission and the county commission every 2 weeks here in Lazo County, and they're continually upgrading the laws. You know, we have to beef it up. We have to stiffen the law.
Shore it up.
Shore up the law, you know. And I'm thinking, well, why didn't you get it right the first time? Well, the stupid citizens didn't understand what we were really telling them. Idiots. And so we really have to make it right this time. And one in particular that they do here is the sign ordinance, which it's been in effect for about 30 years. And I went down 30 years ago, in fact, and said, you guys are making a big mistake here. Well, that sign ordinance has gotten to the point now where it's pages and tens and tens and tens of pages long with every little, so many lumens of light and the size of the light bulb and the fraction of an inch and how many square feet, but it only if it is so many dimensions, this. And again, they throw in, you know, Boltzmann's constant or something. And you sit there and you look at it and say, what? It's never going to stop. I mean,
yeah, if you got like the
and no Chicken Man costumes.
No, that's right. Right, that's right. That's too big.
And if your sign says like, Buck Office Complex, and there's a few bulbs out in the B and the office part,
Big Bass Motel.
Well, hey Curtis, I got a test case going. I'm out on my back porch. And State Patrol just went by and they gave him the finger.
All right, get him there.
Now, he didn't stop, so either he didn't see me or he knows it's my constitutional right here in Colorado to give him the finger.
Hey, sounds like we might be in for a road trip.
or it was Pinky driving.
I hope people pick this up everywhere and just start flipping the cops off. I mean, I don't have anything against cops. I really don't. But it's just the idea of the citizens going out there and reestablishing a little bit of ground for themselves. And if they got to get arrested and sue the city and recover some thousands to make it stick, well, hey, that works
for me.
Well,
no, in reality, I mean, I got a lot of respect for cops.
Sure.
I mean, they're out there in the front line. They're doing a lot of shit, and they're taking a lot of shit.
Yeah.
It's just 50% of them are the ones that give them all a bad name.
Right.
Oh, no question.
The guys that beat up Rodney or something, you know.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of them that just, I think, they're there because of their personality, not because that's the job, you know, they're dedicated
yeah,
to do
half
the job
and
they've
half.
Always wanted to do.
Well, no,
I know
but,
a
I mean,
lot
look,
of really good cops.
I know, I do too, but let's face it, almost all vocations are self-selected. I mean, so you got to figure that somebody that gets to be a cop, it's not their last choice.
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, they have some...
Probably not a pacifist.
Yeah, probably not a pacifist. That's right. You know, I
was trying to think what my last choice is.
Walmart greeter.
I don't think I want to
say
that on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, Walmart greeter is pretty far down
Gay
the line.
Gay for pay, right?
That's it. No, but as I say, the thing about it is, as you know, there are a couple. What comes in on this so often is, first of all, when there is corruption, and we know that there is, the thin blue line, you know, comes up and they protect their own. They sure. cover up to beat the band, and even when it's a mistake or something, I mean, it's just no admission ever of any guilt, number one. And so the point is, respect, as I say, is earned, and unfortunately, bad apples, one bad apple, 1%, can ruin it for the rest of them. And then it, you know, it kind of snowballs. And one of the reasons is, it seems to me, and we had a case here where the cops, I think they might have been off duty, but they ran through one of the neighborhoods here and threw tomatoes and
oh yeah, I saw
and,
that
at all the hookers and the black people laying on the road, and you know they got nabbed for it and they got reprimanded. But they're working.
The cops threw the tomatoes?
Yes. They drove through in a... I'm serious.
Yeah, no, it's true.
That is absolutely true. And they got caught. I forget how they got caught, but it was... I think it was...
Well, they're in the cop car.
Well, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. There.
I don't license siren.
Right.
Hey, guys, come on. Let's make a tomato run.
No, seriously. Don't... That's exactly...
I think they were bragging about
it. They were bragging about it. And, I mean, they'd been drinking. And, you know, there were like four of them in this car, and they went down this major street here in crack heaven or hooker heaven or whatever it is.
Jimmy Lane.
Jimmy Lane, right. And nailed up a couple of my buddies. You know, I got a...
Bitches.
Bitches. Bitches got eggs.
They got eggs, right. And, you know, I was upset, so... I mean, you know,
Jimmy's having to put up with a black eye on his bitch.
Of course, you couldn't tell. That's the other thing. It was a white eye when we were done with it. So.
Oh God!
No, it was eggs. It was eggs. It was eggs.
Right. Yeah.
Gave exactly. him the old stink eye. No, it's a. So anyway, but they caught him, and they, you know, they said, "Well, this is not a good thing," and they reprimanded him, and of course the. Our local race baiters came out and said, this is, you know, typical, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing that a bad apple like that can put a dent.
It's really unfortunate because, I'll tell you this, what they should do, what they have to do, is they have to repeal a bunch of these laws. We have to have a constitutional amendment which says something like no victimless crimes or no intentless crimes or both.
Yeah.
And that way, what it'll do is it'll reduce the police's arresting normal people. It'll re-civilize the police public interaction, which now is at the point where the cops go into the hood. And, you know, there's a murder in there. And they go in there to find out what happened, and nobody will tell them anything.
Not
and that's
that,
a murder.
And when you realize how they go in, like, with their masks on, for God's sakes.
Well,
and
yeah.
full ammo and what do you call it, bulletproof everything you can imagine, and the shields and all. I mean, what is that all about? I mean, that's like Judge Dredd or something.
Because they know that there's...
I understand, but, you know, when you think about it, it was only literally in our lifetime, not in yours, but in my lifetime... The British cops didn't carry guns. They just, you know, they had a nightstick. That was it. And it was all, you walked around.
And a whistle.
And a whistle. That's right. Excuse me. That's right. They had a whistle. But, I mean, seriously, it's only been in fairly recent history that they even started carrying guns. And again, I think that it has to do with the tenor and what you get arrested for. And, you know, when you realize that out of the 2 million people or whatever it is in prison, half of them are for nonviolent crimes of
right.
any kind. I mean,
right.
just, you know, marijuana smoking or something and... Of course, they say all of society is harmed, but it's, you know, it's BS. Prove it.
A bunch of crap.
Yeah. So it's not. And they could let those people go, and we'd be not the worse for wear, as far as I'm concerned.
No question.
I mean, when you consider the cost anyway.
Oh, I got one more legal thing.
Okay.
Actually, two.
Let's take another quick 1 minute break.
Okay.
And then we'll come right back on the Jimmy Doan Show with our special guest, Gene, from the Hanger Dogs. And we're back!
Hey, we're back.
Okay. So I was going to say, I got two quick little legal things here. One, the football coach that was charged with the player's death, right. negligent homicide,
right.
Has been acquitted.
Okay, as well he should. Good.
Yes, absolutely. It's a tragedy he even had to go through that trial.
Yep.
Some freaking prosecutor, you know, tried to get him on that willful, wanton disregard for life.
Well, I'll tell you, they'd have gotten all of my coaches in high school.
Well, no, we were talking about that at lunch, but can you imagine what that would do to, I mean, everything. Kids soccer, it doesn't matter. Anything where you get volunteers or you get people that are trying to coach sports, that would have come out any other way. It would have just destroyed sports.
No, right. No question about it.
But it was a jury trial, I think, so I don't think, you know, you don't get to argue that. If it was to the judge, you could say that to the judge. Judge, you don't want to do that. But the jury trial, I mean, you got to just go on whether they're guilty or innocent. Which I guess it turned on whether he was a good guy. He turned out he was a good guy. Lucky for him, he didn't have a prior felony conviction or anything for, you know, driving on suspended license or something.
Or killed any other football players.
Yeah, right.
Or that.
Yeah,
that,
sometimes that'll weigh in.
So, and then the other one I wanted to bring up was apparently. And I can't remember where this was either. Dang it, this is up in the Northeast somewhere. A burglar was breaking into some students' homes. This was...
this is the samurai.
Right. And one of the guys had a samurai sword, ripped it off the wall, and they had just been burglarized like the last week, this particular house and these particular students. So they were ready. They had the samurai sword, took it down, and... Yeah, and hacked the guy up, man. And I mean, and he expired right there on the scene. But not before the cops got there, and they're considering charging the student who defended the other students.
Right.
Even though the
because
guy...
Because it was, what, premeditated? Or
right, yeah. Because, well, because somebody's dead, that's why. It's find a body, yeah, find an exit, you know. I don't think they'll charge him. I really hope they don't. I mean, because usually what will probably happen is there won't be anybody who represents this criminal's family coming forward wanting these people charged. Which is probably what happened in the coach's case. You know, the mom was screaming up and down every day in the prosecutor's office saying somebody's got to go down for this.
Right.
And so...
That's why they did it. Otherwise, they wouldn't. Right, okay.
That's probably why they did it.
Was the burglar armed?
Not after he was done.
I think
his arm was the first thing to go.
Yeah, they hacked one of his hands off. But I don't know if he was armed prior to that.
Because, you know, if he just came in and he kind of surprised them and he was going to rob the place and they hacked him up,
I read the article too, and I got the impression it was a little bit more than that. It was like at dark at night.
Yeah.
You know, this was like the second time in a week or something.
Thing.
I mean, it was, you know, these guys really
use
were.
Of deadly force authorized.
Yeah. They had.
Well, see, here in Florida, you can only use the amount of force that you think your attacker is going to use against you. But if you're in your home and somebody's in there...
And it's dark.
Right. It's reasonable to assume that they're going to use deadly force against you. So you can use deadly force against them for the most part. In fact, they just beefed that up here in Florida last year or so.
Yeah.
Made it a little bit easier. You don't have to retreat. You don't have to retreat if you have a safe way to do it, which you used to have to.
That's called a hack and slash law here in Colorado.
Oh, is that right?
That's good. We like those.
Yeah.
Well, what you were saying also, if you shoot somebody, make sure you drag them back across the threshold.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Because then there'll be
that's just common sense, though. Don't blow them out the window.
Then there's going to be like a big blood stain, like from where you shot them to where you dragged them to or something.
Right. Make sure you shoot them. If they're standing against a window, just make sure they move a little bit towards the wall before you shoot them.
Well, that's no, right. You want them to get in front of the window and you blast them out the window.
No, but that's the point. You want to just keep them in your house.
Oh, right.
You got to keep them in the house. Yeah. You know, you don't want them to go out the window.
Shoot them in front of the piano or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, most of them's in the house.
Don't shoot. Not the grand.
Dude, could you move over there next to the stove? Oh, I don't know. How do you cook with that? I don't know.
Yeah, wait a minute.
There's a picture of my mother-in-law up there. Okay.
Stand right there.
Oh, it's tragedy that one got ruined.
Sorry, Grandma, I missed with the first shot.
Yeah. They did that in Day of the Condor or whatever, when Robert Redford or whatever, went in there to kill all the spooks. They asked the good-looking girl, "Oh, move away from the window, please," and then they killed her.
Hey, did you guys see Ron Paul was at the, whatever, 10,000 to 2 million man march.
Yeah, yeah, right. that is exactly right. No, I mean...
We never had so much trouble estimating crowds as what they had during that...
Jimmy actually lived there, and somebody described the crowd to you, right, Jimmy? And you said it got to be a million, the way they described it.
It got to be a million. I'll tell you, what was funny about this was... On any of the, you know, if my dream speech or the Million Man March, the Park Service has a ironclad scientific way that they use to estimate the crowds. And they estimate the crowd within a nanosecond after the crowd forms. They fly up a helicopter. They take a picture of a whatever it is, you know, square 100 square feet or whatever it is. They do a count. They average it out over the whole thing, and they can come up with a number. And about, you know, the number is brought. It's like an election. You know, we project. Before all the votes are in, that this crowd is XYZ. And here it is, like 2-3 days later, no clue. No clue. 10,000, I don't know, maybe. 1.7 million, I'm thinking, where was the Park Service on this one? And we had a friend of ours that went up there. She drove, put own money, went up there herself, and she said, let me tell you something. This was like the bake cookie thing, the Rush cookie bake thing out in Colorado that time. There wasn't an ounce of, they didn't have to clean up. Everybody cleaned up their own mess. When they had the last one here, that was not too long ago, it was like $1.7 million to clean up the trash. And this time it was like zero, because they,
no arrests,
homemade signs, right? All signs homemade, and no arrests and no trash cleanup. And yet it's like, talk about underreported.
So what was Ron doing there?
Well, Ron was...
Ron spoke at one of the speeches, and he got a standing ovation from the crowd. They loved him. Now, this is a guy from basically obscurity to all of a sudden, everybody hears his message.
Well,
it kind of surprised me that...
Well, I hope it's catching on, because, of course, Michael Moore's coming out with his new film, Capitalism.
It didn't do too well at the
screening?
Yeah.
Really?
Didn't do too well.
Good.
They were lukewarm to him. Yeah, they didn't.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Alphonse and Gaston.
Yeah.
After you. No.
With you, sir.
You know, not that Michael Moore's films tend to generate a lot of excitement since the GW one, but no, it was not well received. So I don't know what. He didn't invite me to the screening, so I'm not sure.
I can
tell you one thing, though, that was interesting. There was a quote line from the film that somebody said, and it had to do with the fact that capitalism was the evil. And I think he's a good filmmaker myself. I mean, the films actually are well done. The message sucks, but I mean, and it's wrong, but the films themselves are well done. And so I wait till they come out on Netflix. But what it prompted me to do was to, and I have here in my hand, a pamphlet, basically.
Uh-oh.
It is called The Anti-Capitalistic Mentality by Ludwig von Mises, and it was written quite some time ago. It's 65 pages. I've ordered several copies, which I'm going to start sending out. This is essential reading, and it really destroys anybody who thinks that capitalism is even remotely bad.
What's it called again?
It's called The Anti-Capitalist Mentality. It's, as I say, it's not much more than a pamphlet. It has...
We'll have to put a link to it on our essential reading list.
It is unbelievable. I've ordered some more to hand out, as I say. The nice thing about it is, of course, here's a guy who came to the United States in 1941, couldn't speak a word of English, didn't have a job. He was on the outs because Keynesian was at its height back then. And yet he wrote prolifically, and this particular tome of his, which I say is... which normally would be called a pamphlet because it's, as I say, 60-some pages long, but... It has, you need to read this with a yellow marker. Unfortunately, I've turned the book yellow because it's everything in here is worth saving. And so I'm thinking about actually just dipping it in yellow paint and reading it with a white marker or something. For the parts that you don't have to read. I'm not sure, but the point is this is essential reading, and it tears apart. It tears apart in the most... precise mathematical way you can imagine anybody that says that capitalism is not just the panacea for everything in the world. And what I find fascinating is he identifies that currently, this was written, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, what it is so prescient for today. It is exactly nails the people today. I mean, nails them to, you know, to the wall in crucifix position, for God's sakes, for these people that think that the capitalism has a problem on any level. And he does it with, I say, rigorous precision. So we're gonna make sure we do that. So that was, so when you talk about Michael Moore, and I will really want to see that movie. I'm not going to actually pay for it, but I will want to see it.
And well, I saw him on some talk show. I can't remember which, Jay Leno, I think it was. And he came out and he basically admitted that both parties were pretty much bought and sold.
Right.
And then his solution was he wanted Congress to fix the problem.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. And then he babbled on about some alternative to capitalism, which really, really sounded almost identical to part three of the Communist Manifesto.
Right.
And it was just some babble about the people's involvement in politics or something, as if that could ever be achieved. Sort of a general control. We're going to have the people control everything. I guess we'll have to pick somebody out of the people, and then they'll be in control. And then, of course, that's autocracy. So,
well, speaking of control, we're going to have to come back for part two here. We've got light notes coming up, a whole bunch of them, good ones. I'm going to go ahead and roll. The Beatles finally came out with their rock game thing.
Oh, yeah, Rock Band.
Rock Band, yeah. It looked pretty interesting, actually. I wanted to know how they made the commercial. The commercial was awesome before I saw that in a couple, you know, during the football stuff. But,
well, Gene, you got anything else for us?
No, I'm going to drop off.
Okay.
You guys have a good rest of the show.
You the man.
Talking to you next week.
Okay, buddy.
Thank
all
you
right,
so much.
Well.
Out of here.
Take care,
okay,
buddy.
Listen to the dogs.
Dogs. HangingDogs.com. And this is my friend's band doing it, Craig and my other friend Billy, Strawberry Fields.